John.
Hey, yes, I'm doing well. How are you, Garrett?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for joining us today. Obviously, big news is Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson let go by the Cleveland Browns, over the past week, and Todd Haley let go over the past week. We talked about it last week about the difference between the two play callers. Your thoughts on Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley? Do you agree with both of those moves, or do you think one of them had got a raw deal, or do you think they should have gave either or of them a little more time to develop with the new pieces that John Dorsey brought in?
Well, obviously I'm not in that building to see what the dynamics are and what's going on, but based on the reports and what Jimmy Haslam said and John Dorsey, based on the internal discord, essentially, and also the play of how Baker Mayfield, he came out on fire and it just really didn't look like he had been developing. I think a change needed to be made. I think my opinion last year that after, going 1-31, Hugh Jackson shouldn't have been retained, but he was, and it was given a chance with, an improved roster. And a lot of the same mistakes were being made. And then you also look at what Todd Haley was doing for Baker Mayfield and his offense. He wasn't tailoring it to his strengths, and he wasn't making it any easier on rookie. And you can, a lot of people can make an argument that, quarterback is a quarterback, you should be able to, run any offense. You can look at Tom Brady, but even with Tom, at the best, like Tom Brady, he has a system in place, and he has, the right coaches in that building. And it just didn't seem like Baker was on the same page with both the offensive coordinator and the head coach. And I think with, on top of the fact that you had the 1-31 and now 36-1, Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson obviously had a power struggle. I think it was the right move. But I obviously never like to see coaches get fired and people lose their jobs.
John, you this segues into another question. You look at Baker Mayfield and what he was doing, and he came out and he showed a lot of promise, and he showed some real flashes in the first few games. What have you seen on film and tape as you watched his progression that has slowed down, maybe even some people say taking a step back? What, as far as grading him, and what have you seen on tape that that is a little bit have brought him back to the pack? What are some things that he's doing that you've seen that has slowed him a bit?
Yeah, so I think it's, a lot of it is adjusting to what the defense brings at him. So early on, obviously, he was excellent, and he was still playing very well up until this past game. But you saw bits and pieces of it, and obviously in the Chargers game when they would have blitz packages and give him different looks that he hadn't seen yet. They weren't able to adjust to it. And part of that is on him. He's got to recognize when there's a blitz, he's got to know where his hot route is and dump it off there. But also with protections, there is a lot of breakdowns in the protection. So yeah, I can see it from his standpoint that, he's expecting his guy to be blocking there. And as a rookie, you're going to struggle to know exactly where to go with the ball when that free rusher is coming. So I think a lot of it is, when you have a lot of zone blitzes or, they show a blitz coming from his left and they actually bring it from his right, those types of things where it's not in the secondary that's really kind of confusing him. It's more so the front seven that when they get that blitz package going, that's where it had been. And a lot of it, I think, is coaching that they weren't coaching, hey, this is what they're showing us, this is what they're doing. We're not, and then they didn't adjust to it. So that's the main thing I've seen where he's been struggling is recognizing where to go with the ball when that blitz package comes with an unlocked pressure.
Talking to John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, John is with Pro Football Focus. Coming into the game and looking at the matchup with the Cleveland Browns versus the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously Kansas City offense is very dangerous, is dominant. You look at the receivers, you look at the running backs, they're a total offense as far as the weapons they have with Tyreek Hill outside, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce. But, one of the, we all know the NFL is all about what you do, what you got behind center. and talk a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. And as far as Pro Football Focus's grades, where do you guys have him ranked as far as, you know, the metrics go, as his ranking as far as the elite quarterbacks?
Yeah, so this year so far, he's grading out as the number two overall quarterback, right behind Drew Brees. And they're pretty much neck and neck. And he's playing at an extremely high level. He's thrown for 124 first downs on just 187 completions, which is an insane rate and efficiency, standard. He's able to, Andy Reid is just scheming it up extremely well for him. He's throwing big time throws. They do a lot of misdirection and stuff like that. So he's just playing at an extremely high level, something that I expected from him, just probably not this soon. But, he's grading out at, we had our all-pro halfway midpoint team. He was obviously the runner-up to Drew Brees at this point. But, 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's got, still got 20 big-time throws and just 5 turnovers. So it's not just all the scheme that's doing it for him. He's actually making the correct reads and making the big throws and avoiding from the turnovers.
And when you look at the offense that they have, you just can't really load up on the pass game. You look at Kareem Hunt and what he's able to do. He's able to catch the ball out of backfield. He can run between the tackles. Where do you guys have him, and what makes him so dynamic from, a backfield standpoint? What makes him special as far as a running back is concerned?
Yeah, so he grades out as a number four running back running the football, and he's also extremely good as a receiver. He's in the top 15 as a receiving back, and what he does really really well is that he can avoid tackles and makes people miss, whether it's when they get their arms on him or if he just completely jukes them out of their shoes. He forced 33 missed tackles just running the ball. It's the most in the NFL. His elusive rating is a top 5 mark. So that he just is able to have really good patience, has really good vision, and then when a guy does get on him, he forces that missed tackle. And it also is extremely good with the ball in his hands. He's only fumbled it once in his career. Obviously, it was his first career carry last year as a rookie. He hasn't fumbled it at all this year. And it even goes back to when he was in Toledo. He fumbled it just twice there, one that it was lost. So he's a complete back. He can do it from the backfield. He can do it as, you put him out wide into the slot. He's just a versatile weapon for them that can also force tackles and guy I really like coming out of college, and he's going to be good for them for a long time.
Looking a little bit, when do you guys really start breaking down and evaluating college players? When does that evaluation start at Pro Football Focus?
It's year-round, essentially, for us, but we don't get into the specific draft class until, obviously, the after the season is everybody's declared, but we do the same grading that we do for college, that we do for NFL, not at the same level where we're doing we have a lot of multiple different processes that we do with NFL, but we still do the main chunk of what we do for the NFL for the college. And so we do it live. And so we've got grades on all the college players so far this year. And we've done that ever since 2014.
All right, that is awesome, and this is a little foreshadowing for your Cleveland Browns. Could you tell us really quickly? And this is the last question because the Browns are looking around and we're 2-something, and it could get rough for us out there. Do you have if the Cleveland Browns are on the clock, and this is just a foreshadowing, if the Cleveland Browns are on the clock, if by some chance of sheer luck they happen to have Joey Bosa at number one on the board, do you believe that Joey Bosa would be the slam dunk number one pick that the Browns could have? And do you think he's just as good as Myles Garrett?
Joey's his older brother, Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. I'm sorry. Yes, Nick Bosa.
They play such a similar style that it's easy to confuse them. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that he's graded extremely well, even at a higher level than Joey. And we had Joey as the number one player on the board when he came out a couple years ago. So, yeah, at this point right now, yes, I would take Nick Bosa, because that it's a premium position, and the Browns, they have Myles Garrett, but the rest of the team doesn't have a true blitzer rusher that can affect the passer on a consistent basis. And you see flashes of it from Emmanuel Agba and Rayo Ogunjobi, but they don't do it consistently enough. And I like Denard Avery and what he's able to do, but if they can get enough Nick Bosa, that would be a devastating duo of Bosa and Garrett, much like how Bosa is with Melvin Ingram in Los Angeles. So, yeah, I would take him at number one right now, as it stands.
Hey, man, John, I thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. You break it down so lovely. I thank you for being a part of the show. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, man. That's John Costco of Pro Football Focus.